This evening, Father, for the chance to come together, Lord, in your name. Father, we are just grateful, Lord God, that we are people called by your name, Lord Jesus. And Father, just this evening, Lord God, with all that's going on around us, Father, all that's going on in the world, Lord, and all that's going on, Lord, in the lives that we live, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just invite you, Lord, just to take full control, Lord, of every situation, every circumstance, Lord, that life has and that life, Lord God, that we're working with. And Lord, we pray, Lord God, your will be done in every and all things, Lord God. And right now, as we would come together, Lord, as people called by your name, Lord Jesus, as we come together, Father, in this place, Lord, we invite the free flow of your Holy Spirit here, Father. We just bind every demonic force, Lord, every hindrance, Lord God, everything, Father, that would stop anything, Lord, from coming that you desire for your people. Lord God, we just ask, Lord, that just this evening too, Father, that every worry, every concern, Lord God, every sin, every mistake, Lord, that you just wash it all away, Lord God. And right now, Father, that we would just rest in your presence, Father God, and rest, Lord God, in your spirit. Father, we just bind every demonic spirit, Lord God, and every work of the devil, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And Father, as we go forward, Lord, we go forward, Father, seeking your truth, seeking your light, Father, your way, your direction, your peace, and your guidance. So, Lord, as we go forward in Jesus' name. Have your will anyway. Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. So this last couple of weeks, we've been in a series. And I'll encourage you to bring in your Bibles because we flip a lot and we change things. So if you decide after tonight that you actually want to come back, because we may scare you some too. So, but we've been in a series, and let's go back actually to some of the foundational ones, and then we'll recap a little bit. Okay, Luke chapter 16. Okay, and verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and seeth Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence unto you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Okay. Now, when we first set up this series, and we're in part three of a series called The Great Divide, when we first set up this series, one thing that we talked about was initially that this is a true story that Jesus is telling. Now, many times Jesus would tell parables, and he would see the kingdom of God is like this, and he would set things up in a certain way. But this is actually Jesus recounting to people had some natural lives that had lived and taken place in the world and then gone on into eternity, and then speaking of what the eternal reality was that they were living with at that time. Now, there's a few ways that we know that this is a true story. One is the fact that Jesus uses names. Now, he uses the name for Lazarus, but he doesn't give the name for the rich man. And there's a reason for that too. It's the scriptures talk about how that the name of the wicked will rot, and that if Jesus would have told the rich man's name, he would have been remembered. And there would have been a memorial for this guy, and that doesn't happen there. So the name of Lazarus remains, but the name of this other guy, all we know is that he's an object lesson for people to learn from, but him himself, this name is not there. Another few other reasons is because he gives the number of the brothers. There's five brothers, and so there's just certain details that are put in there that that the gravity of it is shown that, wait, this is a real story. Now, since you're new, you know, one thing that I'll touch on is, and a lot of this stuff actually we've posted online so that if you ever want to go back and go through them, but certain things that we've been building over time, but one is the fact that, see, life here in this world is the dream. This world is transitional. Everybody is here just for a period of time, and then after this we go on. And when you go on from this world, you go on into actual true reality. You go on from here into actually what eternal reality is. So whatever it is, now, and so this life is a transition point between what eternity will be for each and every one of us. Now, a few things about, like, one about the eternal state. Your senses work very well in that state, obviously. For verse 24, when he's talking about, you know, I mean, being able to see, being able to feel, being able to hear, there's conversation. All of the senses that you have right now that are inbuilt into your soul will function at a heightened sense in your eternal state. So none of this stuff goes away. So see, what happens right now when you live in the body, in your physical body, is your body is like the car or like a vehicle that you would travel around in. And the soul is actually hooked into the body. So you sense certain things, you feel certain things, you touch, those are there. But it's the body itself is just an extension that is animated by the spirit and the soul that lives in you. But when you die, the spirit and the soul move on. Basically, the person that's inside the car gets out of the car and goes on in the direction that he's chose by his free will, in the direction that he's been moving in. And the flesh itself just dies and passes on, because the flesh, because of Adam and all that happened with, you know, even the whole way that this whole world is set up, the flesh has a very limited period of time that it exists for. So from the moment that you're born, you're on the way to the grave. So all of us are in that situation, all of us are in that progression. So with this story and with this case, now another thing that we've established some time back was that in actuality the reality that we live in here in this world comprises more or less two kingdoms. You have the kingdom of God and you have the kingdom of this world. You have, and really that's all that there is. So when people start looking at, you know, okay, this is the government of Russia, and this is the government of America, and this is Sri Lanka, and this is this people group, and I'm part of this ethnic group and racial group, and I'm part of this social class, and all of those things, whatever it may be, ultimately in the end, on a spiritual level, that really doesn't matter. Because even when people come into this eternal reality, basically it's like, wait, two sides. And between, there's a great divide. There's a gulf fixed, and anybody that's on one side can't go to the other, and anybody that's on one side can't go back the other way. It's pretty much there. So that's what you're dealing with in the eternal reality. One side, very happy to be there. The other side, you're not very happy to be there. And now, when And we asked the question too a while back, was what was it that the rich man did that resulted in him being there? Did he? And that's the question we throw out there. You know, wouldn't you like to know to avoid that one? Yes. Any thoughts? Is that thing working?
Yeah.
It is working. Okay. All right. Because it's in the text, but you don't. It's in the scriptures there. Because
you
see. It's an important question to ask. You know, it's an important question to, like, so whenever you read something like this, you're like, okay, this is a real story. These are real people. These are real lives involved. And this guy in this situation also realized, hey, wait, I've got five brothers that are making the exact same mistake right now that I was making. I want to keep them out of this place. You know? Now notice that he didn't care about the rest of the world. He just cared about his five brothers. And there's something too, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just because the way that people are programmed but just that small, short, little connection and extension of who you are, not wanting, you know, your kids or your family to suffer, but, you know, he didn't care about the rest of the world. He just cared about those people that were just right there. Because, and maybe part of that is just because people in the world, it's like that's still an extension of themselves. You know, their children are an extension of themselves. It's still something of maybe trying to in some way save themselves. But, first thing, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. And the poor man didn't go to hell or heaven because he was poor. You know, because that, scripturally that doesn't work either. You know, I mean, people like David, people like, there's enough examples of people that were, so that's, poverty is no measure of holiness, neither is wealth a measure of being on the wrong side. But, what we do find here is that verse 27, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So they have the word of God, and they have the messengers, or they have the servants of God, they have the word of God, and they have the people that are chosen by God to bring that word. Now notice the difference. Moses was chosen by God. Moses didn't pick the assignment for himself. And see, this is something too. When people walk with the Lord, he picks and selects and gives each one the assignment that they have. And so Moses was chosen by God. So even in this day right now, there are people that God has selected and picked to bring his word, to present, to teach, but most of those you won't find in the regular church place, just so you know. We'll get into that a little bit this evening. But and he said, Abraham said that they have Moses and they have the prophets, let them hear them. So let them hear the true word of God, and let them hear those that are the messengers that are sent by God for that work. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And this nay, Father Abraham. Now Abraham was the father of the faith. And even in death, this guy was still in this situation. He still had this residual from the life that he had lived, where the father of the faith, he had said no to the kingdom of God in his lifetime. And he had said, and by default, he had said yes to the kingdom and the system of the world. And in exchange for what he had gotten there, now he had gotten his eternal choice. So now he's saying here, and said, nay, Father Abraham, for if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So, and even you remember when Jesus was on the cross too, and like, they're like, oh, tell him to come down. And I mean, no, it's like, that they won't. People won't. I mean, there's So there is free will exercise in all of this. Now, back up where Abraham said in verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. The rich man got something for his exchange. He got something in exchange for his allegiance to the world system. So when he gave himself spiritually over to the world, when he allowed for himself to be for his soul to be plugged into the matrix, and for him to okay, fine, I will sell out to the world, and I will allow the world and the world system to use me, and I'll be part of it, and I'll play ball, and I'll be a good boy, and I'll do whatever satanic initiation I've got to do to get in and to climb up the hierarchy. Okay, when he did that, in exchange, the world system coughed something up his way. The ultimate example of the offer was what Lucifer offered to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Here, let's flip there really quick and show you. In Luke chapter 4, same book, back a few pages. There you go. Alright, in Luke chapter 4, and verse 4, verse 5. And the devil taking him, Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus, the ultimate offer being made to Jesus, which is, look, I'll give you, you can be the head honcho in the world system. I'll give you the whole thing. Now, ultimately, again, this is a bluff, because the devil, all he does is bluffs. The devil hasn't made or created a darn thing. What he does is he twists what God makes, and then and the only way he can do that is by the free will buy-in of man.
But that was a very stupid offer that he made. I mean, everything belonged to God himself.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'll give you what belongs to you
in exchange for your soul.
So that sounds ridiculous, because why would you offer something that's already mine?
Very good, Aylin. Because most people here, Luke in Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Okay, so it all belongs to God. But see, part of this too, again, the test that was taking place in Luke was Lucifer was also testing Jesus. The devil was testing Jesus to see, does he know who he is? Does he recognize his own position? Does he know who he is in this whole thing? See, for example, you can be an heir, but if you don't realize you're an heir, or you think you're, you see what I'm saying? It's like, if you don't realize that, I've experienced plenty of this stuff with even my own life, of if you don't realize who you are in this whole equation. See, for example, we are the priesthood of all believers. You are a child of God. You are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. But if you don't realize who you are in Christ, if you don't recognize what God has put in you, and then somebody comes up to you and says, no, you, who do you think you are? How long have you been walking with God, so to speak? You know, well, I've been in the church for 40 years, and who do you think, you know, how can God speak to you? I know where you came from. Your last, 2 years ago, I saw you dancing on top of a table somewhere. You know, it's like, but you know what God does is he takes people from wherever, he pulls his from wherever he chooses, and then his spirit comes into them. They become a new creation, and when that happens, all of a sudden now the whole equation is shifted. It's switched, and they become part of the priesthood of all believers. And the world hates that. The devil hates that. And so what it does is it seeks to master your mind. It seeks to control your thinking so that you don't ever come into what it is that God intended for you. So even here in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is tested. Now, the world system functions based on the free will buy-in by people. So you, by your soul and your will, have to buy into the system in order for it to work. So if everybody said tomorrow, hey, wait, you know, we're not doing this, we're checking out, we're just going to follow God, boom, the whole thing collapses. Even the whole thing with Adam was, it took the Luciferic initiation into the free will by Eve and by Adam to go with that in order for the world system to be created. And so what happened was Lucifer took the took what it was that God had created and twisted it. Now Lucifer never creates anything. He's not a creative being. What he does is he takes something that exists and then seeks to mind control people, and then and if they buy into that, then that gets twisted and turned. And then the code. Come. And then that gets twisted and turned in order for him to be able to then carry out his agenda. So now, but in that process, free will is again honored. So when God created man, man created in the image of God, we have free will, we have creative ability, we have all of this is ingrained in us because you're made in the image and likeness of God. So what he seeks to do, because of his hatred of God, is to twist, to defile, to screw it up, to mess up genetics, to mess up everything, so that he can twist and turn what God intended and make something else, and ultimately destroy what God intended for his plan for the world. Now, there's a mystery taking place in all of this, which is God's redemptive plan for mankind. The mystery taking place that we're actually living in even right now is something that, you know, for example, like the cross, you know, everybody, like it talks in scripture about how if they knew what would have actually happened at the cross, they would have never crucified him. But they didn't realize that, you know, by the crucifixion, that actually they were playing into God's hand, which was the redemption of all mankind through the blood of Christ, and the fact that, you know, in that they were defeated. And in that now, all of us are allowed access to God. All of us are given eternal, the power of God that is there now for you to cross from life to death. I'm sorry, from death to life. Our power is there for you to cross from death to life, because what Christ Jesus did was he was a substitutionary sacrifice necessary, propitiation for our sins, because the God in his perfection and his holiness, there had to be the wrath of God had to be poured out. So Jesus took it all upon himself at the cross. He that knew no sin became sin for us. So then through what happens then on the cross, what happened there, now we then, through just receiving that, as we're drawn by him, now what happens is for us, we then can go into the life that now he has. So he takes our place literally and spiritually. And then now, when we die in him on the cross, we then now have a new life. The new life that we live in the world is him in us. And then you live... Yeah, go ahead.
You don't know the Greek word, right?
Hmm? Yeah, yeah. So I'm getting back.
That's not heaven and earth, is it?
No.
No,
the divide is actually... See, even here in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, back to Luke 16, when... After people pass from death to life, or from life, after people pass from this life into the next, there is what's seen here in just this passage of scriptures. Wait, there's a huge divide between these people. And the truth of the matter, what you end up facing, see, in this world, the wheat and the tares grow together. So the wheat and the tares grow together. So meaning that we're all mixed in together. So you have people in a company, and a couple of them over here will know the Lord, and a lot of them won't. And then you'll have somebody here, and you'll have somebody there. And so we're all kind of in this whole thing. But then when this life is over, there's a separation process that takes place. And in the separation, then it's like, okay, these are mine, God says. sheep go over on this side, the goats on this side. This, the wheat, the tares. He just keeps separating and sifting out. This is mine, and this I don't want. This is eternal garbage. He puts it over on the one side. So even when, many times in scripture, when it talks about hell, it talks about this word Gehenna, which is a place that used to be also outside of Jerusalem, where basically they would throw the trash and it would burn. They'd throw the trash to be burned. So it's like the eternal garbage, and that which has no redeemable value, that which is worthless for all eternity. So people that choose by their free will the world and the world system, and they choose that allegiance to the prince of the power of this world, and also which is ultimately as well selfishness, it all feeds into that same thing. If they don't choose to bow their knee before the King of Kings, the Kingdom of God, if they don't choose that, then they, okay, now you have to redeem yourself. Oh, sorry, I can't do it. Don't have enough change in my bag. So they're stuck in a place there. Now, okay. Acts 26. I have to do a little bit of a recap since Acts 26. Okay. But she has the whole Bible in that book. Okay. Acts 26 and verse 14 says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth," now this is Saul, who later became Paul, speaking of his experience where God basically got his attention. God woke him up, right? Verse 14, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Okay, so back to again two kingdoms, darkness, light. Power of Satan unto God. And what happened here, this is where with Christ Jesus, when Paul, notice these are red letters in your Bible, it's Jesus speaking. So when Paul meets Jesus and he has this encounter with Jesus. Now see, before this, Paul was deceived, even in his own mind. He thought he was serving God. Yeah, he thought he was, because he was, hey, I'm a Pharisee and I'm one of the big guys. I'm one of the young, zealous, weeding out the early church who they were calling heretics and all of this, and killing Stephen. You know, he's just involved in the martyrdom of, he was guarding the clothes of the people that were executing. You know, one of the first evangelists even in the church. So he's involved in all of this, and so again, here's a murderer. You know, this is again, God has a nice way of pulling murderers and making them some of his top servants. So whatever it is that you think you might have done, put that on the side, because God, if you just let him get a hold of your life and you follow him, you know, there's a good chance that he's going to do something pretty amazing. You just have to walk that whole thing out with him. So, but Jesus meets this one who's persecuting his followers, that's been responsible for the execution and of one of his finest saints that he had during the day, and who's on the way to do more of the same. But this is one of his. And see, this is why too, you have to leave a bit of space for people, because the very, because what happens when the Spirit of God comes into a person is they can change a person entirely. And I've seen this. There's people that I've known. There's some people I knew, you know, even back in the States, where I knew them before they knew Christ, and they grated on me. I just like, ah. And then, like, after, like, they met the Lord, and God went, I mean, they just became so close because the Spirit of God in them, you share something with them, with the Spirit of God that's in those people. So, but you have to leave this space for the transformation that takes place with the Spirit of God in a person. So, you know, give that opportunity there for the true hearts. But guard your heart as well, because again, there's a lot of infiltrators that are there as well that would just seek to deceive, entrap, enslave you, that are also being set free. That's the whole book of Galatians is about that. So you're being set free in Christ Jesus, and people hate to see that because you're getting out of the world and the world system so quickly, grab you and put something else on you that now can keep you bound again. So so Jesus speaking to Saul, who would later change his name to become Paul, basically too, hey, you got a new identity. You're a new person. The old you is actually gone now. But when he's talking about this too, he says, look, delivering me from the people and from the Gentiles, verse 17, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, darkness to light. Now, everybody too that is in the kingdom of this world is also under the power of Satan. It sounds horrible even just to say it. But when you're in the kingdom of the world, when you have given your allegiance and your free will over to that system, you are now under the power of Satan and under the demonic influence of that system. So what the world does when we're born here, you're born into this world, from the moment that you're here, the world will work to break you down to the point where you will say, okay, enough, I'll sell out whatever you want me to do. And usually that involves some sort of sexual initiation as well into the world system. So it's like, you know, literally gets you plugged into the world in one way, shape, or form. So to break the soul so that now you can be open to that demonic power, the satanic power, the power of Satan. And what Jesus does, see, if it was not for Christ Jesus, there's no way that anyone could get free from this thing. Because the whole world system has been perfecting itself for thousands of years. And the way that it works, too, is every soul that comes into it, that sells out to it, it takes every talent, every ability, everything that person has, and uses that to further build the world system, to further build and refine the soul scalping machine, so that it can now use that to then grab the next batch that comes in. So every time, just take the internet. The internet didn't exist for public use until the 1980s. Look at how that is being used now, it's a neutral thing, but look at what happens in the hands of people that are sold out to the world and the world system. They can use that now to track, to monitor, to control, to take your identity in the world, to do whatever it is. It's like it's all there, it's part of it. So all as this whole thing gets refined and continues to build and continues to escalate, it's used, the world system continues to grow. The more that it grows, the more that it uses itself to then harvest. So it's the goal of the world system is, okay, there you are. Alright, we want your soul, and in exchange for your soul, we'll give you your trinkets in the world. You know, whatever it is. If it's a bowl of lentil soup, all the way up to, you know, I don't think there's that much to go around anymore. So it's like, but Jesus' offer was, you know, hey, we'll give you the whole thing. But ultimately the exchange is the same. They want the soul. And then after you get that, okay, now you're a slave in the world system. You gotta be used to continue to build that thing. And you know, you get slash and burn for a while, and then after that, now you're done. And so we'll cart you off to an old folks home, we'll kill you off, and just make sure that, you know, that they do that, have the soul, and move on to the next generation. Now, what Jesus did when he came into this whole thing was he provided a way out. So there is a way out where there's literally now the opportunity through him to, for one, to be set free. Then two, to actually live an abundant life and to actually live the life that God intended for his creation when we were made, when we were formed, when we functioned. So we have the opportunity while you're in this life to cross that divide. You have the opportunity while you're in this life through the cross to cross from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. But one thing that that involves is that involves too, when the Spirit of God draws someone, when the Spirit of the Lord reaches out to someone, it involves them of their free will as well to bow their knee before the King of Kings and say, Lord, okay, not my will but yours be done. It involves the person on a heart level willfully getting off the throne of their own life and asking for the lordship and the dominion and the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Christ. So Christ Jesus, you receive that. We receive that. We receive that forgiveness. We receive that salvation that comes through him. And then the rest of your life is lived here. Basically, hey, whatever you say goes, Lord. You say left, I go left. You say right, I go right. You say become a doctor, I become a doctor. You say quit being a doctor and go be a janitor, I go be a janitor. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Your life is lived in connection with the Spirit of God according to his plan and purpose for you, as he would make that clear and make that known. And what ends up happening too, see, here's the thing, the world system is just all smoke and mirrors. So what it does is it takes people, makes slaves out of everybody, they're all slaves within it, but it puts a few people up there and says, okay, this is your example of successful life in the system. So you have your celebrities and you have your big businessmen and you have, now they don't show you their regular lives. They don't show you how much of a slave that they are, the rituals that they do to try to garner spiritual power, all the things they don't show you. They don't show you what they look like without makeup. They don't show you, you know, any of that stuff. What they show you is this illusion of what they are in the system, and they say, hey, you can be one too if you sell out. But in actuality, these are all slaves. They're all serving that thing. And really, in the end, none of them, you know, they get a little time to have their time in the limelight, to run around the track a couple times. But once that's finished, they're pretty much washed up and used up. And then, so, but none of them are satisfied. None of them, the hole in their heart is not filled. They still have this gaping wound in their soul that's never been addressed. And then in the middle of that, so they have to spend their lives in distraction, in debauchery, and whatever it is they can to try to never have to deal with those issues. Now, when somebody crosses over from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, what God does is he shines a spotlight in your soul, and then your whole life is exposed before him. Nothing's hidden. And you're like, oh gosh, this is me. And then when you see that too, he begins to work on you. And as he begins to work on you, and as he begins, you allow for that. Now he's gentle with you too. You know, he'll, some things will be a bit traumatic, but if you keep going in that process, he'll continue to wash, to cleanse, to work, to refine, and to make out of you what he desires. So you will be transformed in this life into somebody that when people see you, you're literally an ambassador for the kingdom. You become, as it were, when people see you, they see him. So, entrez, s'il vous plaît. Okay. Welcome, this superstar. Okay. Okay. All right. So when people see you, they see him. That's what ends up happening with the process that God puts us through. Part three, the Great Divide.
Yes.
All right. So, so Jesus Christ bridges that. Now, the bridge is offered in this life. And see, if people understood what the gravity is of the decision, the choice, the direction that they made during this life, they would really address certain, it would be absolute priority for them. Just like the rich man, he's like, look, I wish I could get back, but I can't. You know, send somebody else to go back. Because, see, once you're out, you're out. You know, there's people on the other side that would like to get back. They can't. You know, you have this window of time right now. So while you're here, to be about the purposes of God, to be about what God intends. Because otherwise, you're living your life for what? Yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, when you actually think about the insanity of what most people live their lives for, tell me one soul that's come into this world that stayed in this world. Yeah. Nobody. Nobody that's ever existed has seen. So, appointed unto every man is a time to die, and after that, the judgment. Outside of Elijah and Enoch, you know, but even them, you know, God took them unto Himself. But it's like this is this world, you know, people are, they're gone. And so, because of the fact that we're transitioning through, it's a good thing for people to stop and to address, wait a second, okay, what is my life and my existence really about? But see, what's happening right now too around the world is rather than doing that, people are, as the world system is failing now, then now people are just saying, wait, how do I get that world system back? What do I need to do to get back the world system? What do I need to do to get back my comfort, my whatever it was that I had? See, all right, even right now, the whole world, okay, what's the date? Today is the 3rd of March? 3rd of March 2009. So what you're seeing right now is the initial part of the failure of the system of man. This is not, we haven't yet crossed into like judgments of God and all those things that will take place in the near future. But what you're seeing right now is just man's own system and the world system itself collapsing. Now the stars are still in the sky and the sun is still shining and, you know, things are still growing. You don't have mass plagues yet. You don't have, the wars are going on, but they haven't escalated to the point that they will in the near future. You're just right now only seeing, you know, the Dow Jones crossing into 6,000. You know, you're just now only seeing the initial failure of the system of man. And actually what's taking place right now too, because even when people are detached from the Spirit of God, you can't make a good decision on your own behalf. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you make stupid choices continually. And what happens even right now, what's taking place is these people globally are, it's like being caught in a current. Have you ever experienced that? Where if you're caught in a current, and if you freak out, and you all of a sudden just and you don't realize your position or where you're going, and you just like start swimming really really hard to try to get back to where you were, you burn up all of your energy just trying to get back, and you're not getting out of it yet. And then now you've wasted all of your energy, and then you're getting swept out again further. And that's what's taking place right now in the world, is man, to try to save himself, is expending all these bailout packages. I mean, in a year or two, people will start to say, that was absolutely insane, it had no effect, and it just made things much, much worse. But man trying to save himself is actually destroying himself. Because back to Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. When man goes his own way without following the voice of the Spirit of God, man destroys himself time and time and time again. Andre, Mr. Hey, Reverend, what's up? Yeah, we're good. We're good. Okay. Thanks, man.
See you.
Okay. Reverend Kadi. Okay. Now, keep all of this in mind and now realize that there are people that have sold out. I'm transitioning a little bit. The people that have sold out to the world. So now think of it like this. Right, now you are in this room, you're children of God, you're people that love the Lord, you're people that want to walk with the Lord. And some of this will be a little bit alien to you because it's like, how can somebody even think like that? I mean, scriptures talk about there's some people that exist in this world, in Proverbs, that they can't sleep unless they've made somebody fall for that day. You know, there's people that exist in this world that are, they're children. Jesus called them children of the devil. And the devil has his children running around on the same surface that you're running around on in this planet. So, realizing that those are there, and realizing that those exist in the same reality, let's get a little bit of an understanding and a framework behind, again, what is it that they're about? And what is it that they're doing right now? In a time where you will see, and it's an amazing time to be alive. I am so excited to be alive right now. In this time, because this is an amazing time to be one of the children of God in connection with Him. It's because of what will happen with God's people. Traumatic time if you don't know Him. Oh gosh, I would not want to be alive right now if I did not know Christ. And actually, scriptures talk about how people will wish they could die, and how men's hearts will fail them when they see the stuff that's coming on the earth in the days ahead. But it's a fantastic time to be alive, to know Him, because you'll also see God's hand stretched out for His people. God's protection, God's provision, God's direction. All this stuff will be much, much, much more clear. And as things get worse, it'll be the transition and the decision points will also be very, very simple. You know, either you walk with Him or you don't. The gray area is going to be kind of scratched out more and more. Okay. If you are, think of it now as a worlder. If you are sold out to the world and the world system, what must you now do as part of that system? What's your role now? To recruit more. Yeah? To recruit and to keep. To recruit and to keep. So now, here, let me show you something. go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go through this. Second Corinthians, chapter 11. Okay. All right. Let me see here. Let's just start at verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the region of Achaia. Whereof, because I love you, not God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they shall be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Okay. He touches here on something that was becoming just a few verses there, but something that was becoming a very strong understanding for the early church was that the counterfeit that Lucifer produces time and time and time again which is at large what you have now in the world and the world system. Now, we did a series a long time back titled The World, which is actually posted online in faithmix.com. Now, the world, one thing that we did was we broke down, if you understand a bit about what the system is, and then, like, you have the monster's body, but then it has all the different heads. So you have one head is the political system, another head is the religious system, another head is the economic system, another head is the entertainment, and another one is this. And then when you start realizing, whoa, these are all different manifestations of the same system, has the same type of hierarchy, has the same type of spiritual requirements, has the same... So you start realizing, wait, it's the whole thing. And then you start realizing, whoa, I'm surrounded. And if it wasn't for Christ Jesus in me and the protection of the Spirit of God and His angels that are working on your behalf, I'd have been dead a long time ago. So, but they can't destroy me because, hey, wait, I'm His. And God has reason and purpose for me being here. And nothing can stop or remove me from this place until God's plan and purpose with me is done. So let me use some wisdom and walk with the Spirit of God so that I don't unnecessarily put myself in a spot of danger. I don't need that, you know. Let's do this right. But what happens is that you have the religious system of the world. Now this is one. So now when Paul is speaking this thing here, he's talking a little bit to people that already were beginning to have this understanding. And he says, for such are false apostles. So you have the real ones, you have the false ones. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore there is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So the devil has ministers, the devil has false apostles, the devil has... Okay. Hello? You know, do we see those today? Do you see those out there? Do you see how the world and the world system will back those people? The world and the world system will finance those people. The world and the world system will promote, will publish their books, will give them a chance to pray at inaugural conferences and prayer breakfasts and inaugurations and whatever. How the world will exalt those that are part of the system itself, that are accomplishing the agendas and the objectives of that system, and will seek to remove, marginalize, put aside any true servant of the light and the truth, which is the same thing that was happening to Paul right away. So Paul himself, visited by Jesus Christ, God himself calling, because again, Moses, you know, when Abraham said, look, you know, they got Moses, and they have Moses, and they have the scriptures, and they have the ministers of the Word of God. So God calls those that are His. God pulls those that He wants to bring the Word. They push those ones aside. So what they do is they take the Word and they twist it so that you can't understand it anymore. So what happened through even in the early church days is they took the scriptures and they started doing it in Latin, so nobody understood what was Latin. And nobody spoke it. And then they had somebody up there that said, now you've spoken in a language you don't even understand, and you got to go do your religious service. And then they made sure that you didn't have a copy of it. So until the Gutenberg Press late 1400s, until that, you know, you didn't even have access. So God shook the whole thing up, found a way to get people to work, put it in their language. But even now, it's like, okay, so all these things, okay, let's give you thousands of translations, and let's make them all kinds of free, funny things, and add in our own words, and let's make it gender neutral, and let's do this, and let's do that. But it's like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on here? What's the whole... So one goal, to twist the word, and then the other one is to don't give you a real minister. Don't allow those ones to speak. Keep those ones out and give you, the world system gives you, the false ministers. They give you the false prophets. They give you the counterfeit that transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So they look the part. They talk the part. They have the shirt. They have the collar. They have the this. They have the that. They have the doctorate of divinity from XYZ cemetery. And they have all of those things are there, but at the end of the day, it's at the end. Yeah, seminary, cemetery, same difference. Because you know what I've found is that too, but at the end of the day, what is it that's taking place? Well, what is it that they're doing? What's the goal and the objective? One thing is the harvesting of souls. One thing is to keep you bound in the system so that you never actually walk with Christ for yourself. So you never actually for yourself walk with Him. You never actually meet Him for yourself. You never actually learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God for yourself. What you end up doing is you end up living your life continuing on in the world and the world system and being part of it and your soul being scalped at the end of the whole thing. Think about it. If you go into one of these places and they tell you, hey, you're okay with God if you just pay your tithe and come every Friday for the miracle service and come every Sunday and sit down and be a good boy, and here's a list of do's and don'ts. And you do these and you don't do these, and now you're okay with God because we said so. And think how many people have done that. Now, think about when you actually have, when life actually hits you. Does that faith work? Does the God that you serve, is He there now? Or have you been trusting in a man? The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. That was the whole problem in the first place, was that because of everything that happened, now you needed somebody to mediate between you and God. And when Christ Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was rent in two, you no longer needed a man to get to God. You no longer needed somebody to stand between you and the Father. Now, through the blood of Christ Jesus, through His body that was broken for you and I, He's now the high priest that's in the order of Melchizedek. He's now the high priest that through Him we have direct access to the Father. Because you are now in Christ Jesus if you're one of His. So we now go directly to the Father, and you can walk out your life here in complete and total connection with Him. So for us, as followers of Christ Jesus, you now need to understand the difference between what we have in Him, because Jesus didn't set up a religion. What Jesus did was He said, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So John 14:6. So you come to the Father through Christ. And so what He offered was a way, not a religion. Because in case you haven't noticed, the religion of Christianity is a failure as well. The religion of Christianity is very different than what Christ Jesus set up. Christ Jesus gave a way. Now, some people, myself included, met Christ in and around the religion of Christianity. But it took God also waking me up in that process and showing me, wait a second, what is Him and what's not Him? What is the control and the system of man, and what is actually the direct relationship God intended for us to have? So it took Him showing some things to us and to me along that way. And this is part of my own walk, my own relationship with Him. Because it's a living, breathing, continuing thing that God's doing with me and with each of us. Okay, go to Matthew 23. Let's dig into this a little bit more. Matthew 23. Okay. So don't take my word on it. Let's hear from the man with the red letters. Okay. Matthew 23. Now think of this in the context of people that are part of the world system, religious system, that have one purpose, which is to harvest souls as part of that and to keep them and to use them for that whole thing. So think of it in the context of people that are not part of that true kingdom. Okay. Alright. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples. Start of chapter 23. Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Alright. First of all, think of the position that they take for themselves. Alright. Okay. They choose that. And therefore, All therefore they bid you observe, that observe and do. Okay, so do the word of God, the true word. And but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Alright, so you're bound and tied up with all sorts of religious obligations that have nothing to do with relationship with God. Okay. Actually, let's go through the passage first and then we'll come back and talk it through. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men, that they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall be exalted himself shall be abased, and he that be humbled himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass land, sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether it is greater the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, there you go, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witness unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Okay. Wow. I mean, Have you heard people preaching like this? Have you heard anybody teaching like this? I mean, honestly, where are the people that are speaking with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and actually putting out the Word and the truth and exposing this? See, Jesus, when He came into this world, He went head to head with the world system and He knocked it over, flat on His back. And then when the time came for the crucifixion, which God had set up for the Passover and everything that was necessary, all of those pieces were put in place. Jesus willfully went to that and laid down His own life as a propitiation for our sins. Now, with Him, when He came into full encounter with this and with this system, He also revealed and showed how it works, what it's about, what it does, and this thing is still there this very day. But you have the kingdom of God existing right now in the world too. And the kingdom of God and the people that are walking with the King, we exist and they can't do anything about it. To hurt us is to hurt themselves, because they do something against the children of God, it works out to their own destruction. So, but what is it that they do? Well, there's a few things that are, he went through a lot of stuff, but it's all about image, it's all about perception, it has a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And one thing that's key though is verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them which that are entering to go in." So that system, and a large part of that system, is if that's your goal, to block that, to block you from ever getting out of the world, the world system, and to keep you locked in so they won't go out and they stand in front of the door. So you remember back to Revelation 3 verse 20, where it's speaking about the Laodicean church, which is a good representative of what the final church age that we live in right now and the people that are living in. If you had to say, okay, churches around the world, if there's something that typifies who, what they are, it would be the Laodicean church. In which church? Where's Christ Jesus? He's outside at the door knocking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What these guys do is if anyone hears the voice of the Spirit of God, they stand up like a guard and try to block you from getting to that door. So they block you. That's the whole thing with Galatians again as well, is to block you from getting to the door to open, where you then now have to, once you've got past them, to go outside the door to be with Christ, because you can't stay inside, because Jesus is not invited in there. If you want to be with Christ, you have to leave and go out and then walk with Him in the desert, walk with Him in the wilderness experience, which can be traumatic because it involves you willfully letting go of everything that you thought and everything that you knew about what the world was, and taking and receiving from God what He has and what He offers from His hand. But realize what the system does, and realize what these people that are there do. Now, they have the backing of the world. They have the financing of the world system. They have the image and the appearance of being legitimate. They, you know, it says for a pretense, they make long prayers. So they have the prayer voice and they stand up there, "Brother, and we need something special today. You need a touch from the Lord." And you know, I mean, so the whole thing is image and perception. Oh gosh, the other day I was invited, and sometimes God lets me go to something, and I stayed for 5 minutes and then I walked out, because it's just like, maybe it was because I sat close to the speaker or something, but I think this guy, all he could do was string together a bunch of cliches that, you know, I don't even want to get into it. But I'm just saying, it's like, when you start to see it, when you start to understand, so for example, here Jesus just gives you a lot of things where it's like, hey, you know, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's pretty good chance that it's a duck. So it's like Jesus gives you a pretty good list right here of just, hey, look, It looks like a duck. It walks like a duck. I think it's a duck. And so this is Jesus just pointing out, point blank. He's like, here you go. So now, where do they sit? They sit in Moses' seat. So what they do is they take for themselves, God didn't give them this position, they take it for themselves, the position of legitimacy, but they themselves weren't called by God for those positions. See, here's the thing, with the ministers of Christ, the ones that I know that are true, God called them. And many of them, God called them and they went into it kicking and screaming. Because they, you know, but they loved God. So the thing is like they love God. They love God with all of their heart. And they would do whatever He had for them. And then part of that walk was, God said, hey, you know, this is part of what I have for you. And they're like, yeah. But it's like, okay, but Lord, you know, I'll do whatever because I'm yours. So they went into it. You know, I mean, even Moses had trouble with this. I mean, Paul short-circuited him for 3 years. He had to get his brain rewired. You know, but these guys, but they would do it because they love God. Now, God's ministers, He calls them, He pulls them. But religion in the world is a massive business. Religion in the world is there's a couple industries in the world, religion and politics, which control tremendous amounts of resources in the world. So I mean, they treat it along those lines. So if you start to realize, wait a second, this is where it's coming from. This is what it's about. This is what the goal is behind this. This is why they're given position, place, power, prestige in the world system. Now, what we do and what we're about is you are still kept here as the true ambassador of Christ Jesus. You are part of the priesthood of all believers. You are those that speak truth as God reveals truth to you. So we share what God gives to us. Okay, cool. And you walk this life out with Him for yourself. Now God will bring other people along the way for a window of time to walk with you in this. Some will stay for a little while, some will stay for a long while, some may walk with you this entire life. Whatever the case is, you know, God adds, mix and matches His teams as He chooses. But we're here just in a transition period of time for the purposes that God has, and realize that this is part of the opposition that you will face in delivering that truth and that message that God gives to you in this time, in this place. So realize that that's there. Realize that this is what you're encountering. And as the Spirit of God comes upon you as well, be bold about it. See, for me, I go head to head with these guys time and time and time again. And a lot of them, I don't think they like me that much anymore. I'm pretty nice to them. But it's like, but if we, let's talk about it. Let's go through the Word. Let's look at the Scriptures. Let's actually, and because they bought into that system, because they've sold themselves to that system, they've also put themselves now in a place where they cannot hear. And so because they can't hear, now they then have to recycle all the same programs and everything else. There's no life there. There's no truth there. There's no gospel there. There's no freedom there. Jesus said in John 10, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay, do they have abundant life? I mean, just honestly, it's like I step back, I'm like, okay, does this person have abundant life? And if not, what is missing? I ask that question for myself. I'm like, okay, what is God intended for us to have life and have it more abundantly? What I see more times is that these people are another manifestation of another form of slavery. And all it is, you know, they're living themselves bound, and then they're trying to tell other people, you know, this is where it's at. You know, brother can't put down a piece of chocolate cake for 5 minutes and he's going to talk to me about exercise. I mean, you see it. I mean, like, it's like you go in there, you look at the faces. Just look at the faces. You sit down and look at the faces of the people that are there. I mean, they're just brain dead. Drones. 40 years they've been there and they don't know the first thing about what the kingdom of God is. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by image. Don't be deceived by perception. All religions in this world are forms of social control. Every religion is. Jesus Christ, when He came to this world, What he did was he offered a way, and out of that way too, what he offered was he offered an empowering to be able to walk on that way. Here, go to Acts chapter 1 real quick, and we'll close with this for today, because time goes so fast. Okay, Acts chapter 1. And it says, again, Jesus talking. Now, death couldn't hold him, so the crucifixions happened. Jesus came back, said, "Yep, I'm, you know, still alive. Can't keep me down." And so Jesus comes back, and he spends his time. He spends 40 days now walking around, meets up with over 500 people, and in all these different cases. So he's like, "All right, resurrected Christ here." Teaching, admonishing, encouraging, people are like, so people are excited. It's like, whoa, this is it, this is the real deal. I mean, this, so Jesus didn't like, you know, breeze through, oh, was that Jesus? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, Jesus like showed up, sat down, just like we're here at this room, sitting on the table, here's Jesus, wait, weren't you crucified? It's like, I mean, so it's just like, yeah, he sits, comes, has a meal, fishing boat incident, all these different things. So Jesus is coming, spending time 40 days hanging out with his disciples, encouraging them, giving them what they need to know for the next phase of what's going to happen. One of the things that he tells them before everything's wrapping up, before he then ascends, is chapter 1, verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" So they're still thinking on a natural level. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So God says, look, wait on me and wait here. He's like, there's an empowering that's coming. 500 invited, 120 people actually show up. So even then, you know, because there's only 120 in the upper room when this actually happens. But those that were given the admonition and that they waited for it, there's an empowering that comes upon them to be able to walk out the life that God intended for them while they were still remaining on in the earth. And when you see the transformation that takes place in somebody like Peter, in his best efforts on his best days, he couldn't do it. But then after the empowering that takes place in the Spirit of God, when Christ Jesus is now in his heart, in his life, the Spirit of who he is now alive in him, and the empowering that comes by the Spirit of God, where the fire of God literally comes upon him and flows through him, that's what you need. And that is what, when you can count on anything in this world, if you have that power greater, that is then, greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That empowering, that all authority on heaven and on earth was given unto Jesus, guess who lives in me? And when that power is unleashed in your life, it's like a dam breaking and all that water flowing out, but it continues to flow because you're connected with the source. But nothing stands before that. So that's why, what does the world do? The world seeks to keep you from ever coming to that. That's why all of the resources it puts into its religious system is to keep you from ever getting halfway close to the door so that you can ever go and be with Christ. Because if you start that process and you continue to walk with him in that line, you're unstoppable. And now it's got to, and then imagine having to deal with a bunch of you. You know, I mean, it's traumatizing for them. So, hey, I can't fault them for doing what they're doing. They're just being good worlders. That's what they do. But we, as children of God, hey, we've got something that God has for us here. And all, I mean, just one person, I mean, one Elijah, which Elijah was a man just like you and me, you know, the person like us. He shut down an entire kingdom. Just one is all God needs. And you know what? He's got many, many more than that are now waking up and coming into who he has. So cross from, as Spirit of God draws you, cross from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And when you cross into that, live the abundant life that God intended for you. He does that. He reveals that. What we do is we go through and we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We allow for that and yield to that each and every day. And my time is gone, so we have to stop.
That's what we say. Get a Bible and read it in its entirety. Let God deal with you and your propriety. Check out all the cats of notoriety and the variety of ways that they deal with the ills of society. Let it bring sobriety. Let it make you fiery. Cause it's gonna take more than a slice of apple pie. Once you realize that this sin and this symptom and this lost souls and the things that tempt them. And in Jesus, there's rest and redemption. You're covered by a Hebrews 4:1K pension. Not to mention, you learn your lesson. No more vexing, no more stressing, no more guessing, no more heaven and hell questions. No more just living for the blessing. No more dressing, forget the ice and aggression. Not my wife, no caressing. I don't care if she's but equal, Australian or Texan. And you ain't scared to scream that to your whole section. I'm not living for this life, cause I'm living for the next one. Living for the next one. Living